This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, it's hour two rolling along this morning. Thanks for joining us. Denver Broncos are on the clock today as we continue AFC West previews. Does that mean, Ron, we have the Chiefs tomorrow and our good friend Alex Gold?
That does mean.
I'm looking forward to that. Alex Gold, our Chiefs guy out in Kansas City. That'll be tomorrow, but today, Nate Kreckman, Altitude Radio, is going to join us to talk Broncos. 5-12 last year, complete and utter disaster of a season. They paid Russell Wilson a ton of money, didn't lead to anything. They had to fire Nathaniel Hackett because he was terrible as a head coach, so much so that Sean Payton even saying that drew the ire of the NFL, as everybody was on top of Sean Payton quickly for even saying that last year was the worst coaching job in NFL history. All of a sudden, unwritten rules were being brought up about coaches not dissing other coaches, and Aaron Rodgers saying, take his name out of your mouth. By the way, that is now becoming a very popular phrase in sports. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
And that's, we go back to the Oscars?
Is that where it came from? Did Will Smith borrow that term from something else, or did he make that term up and now everybody's using it?
That's a good question. He had to borrow it from someone else.
I'm leaning towards, because I had never really heard that phrase before, but it doesn't mean it's not been used by the kids.
Yes.
Right? So, I'm thinking he did.
Bless you.
I'm sorry. I tried to catch that button. I didn't quite catch it. 30 years in this business, man, I still can't.
Hey, people sneeze. It's all right.
It's my one deficiency, but it's my one major one.
But the only
thing I have a sneeze, I can't get to the button quick enough.
The only thing you need to worry about is if you're listening in the car right now and all of a sudden some liquid hits your face. It wasn't Tony. No. That's not how radio works.
That's right. It's not me. Oh, goodness. I did one time. I couldn't reach the button at all because I was on one side of the board. We had a little board. It's a mute button. You want to hit a mute button when you're ready to sneeze, and I couldn't reach it, and it just hit me, and it was like, you ever have one of those sneezes where you just make sure everyone around you knows you just sneezed?
That's every sneeze for me.
Right. Yeah. I know. The same thing with me. My wife says that all the time because my wife will sneeze and she'll just go, "Choo." And I go, oh, God bless you. But when I sneeze, and my kids have even commented on this, I go, achoo!
I mean, honestly, if the windows aren't shaken, is it really a sneeze?
Is it really a sneeze?
I mean,
so I go to 100 when I sneeze.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because when I was a kid, I was told if you held in a sneeze, you could die of a stroke or something. Right.
Is there anything more annoying than the people who sneeze like?
I know. Just let it go.
I mean, it's like, you know, my brother does this, and I, first of all, I'm like, dude, you're gonna pop a blood vessel.
That's what I think all the time. That's why I don't hold back sneezes.
It's like,
I don't know if it's an urban legend or not.
I know.
I don't know if it was just one of those things like don't swim 30 minutes after until 30 minutes after eating, like any of those things when I was a kid that I was just told. Like undigested, like you have pounds of undigested gum in your stomach, that kind of nonsense.
Yep. It stays in your stomach for seven years.
Like all of those things, those urban legends when you're a kid, one of the things I was told was if you held in a sneeze, you could burst a blood vessel in your brain or something. And so I don't. I never hold back sneezes because of that. But because of that, my radio, if you took all the hours that I've been on radio, there are splotches where I've sneezed on microphones because I can't get to the mute button fast enough.
Hey, you know, I mean, I sit right in front of mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can turn my mic off at any moment. And there are times where it just hits me. Or a cough or something like that.
I had a studio once clap when I actually did it successfully one time.
Yeah.
I did it successfully and the guys in the back in the room were like, well done. I was like, yeah, I know. That was what I was kind of known for. It was like I couldn't reach that button.
But hey, everyone sneezes.
Never. I know exactly. So where did I leave off with the Broncos? I was leaving off with Will Smith. Did Will Smith create the take my wife's name out of my mouth? And people have adjusted it. Like
I don't think he. I think he borrowed it and reconformed it and reconfigured
true.
It. And now we'll just point the finger like it was Will Smith's idea all along.
Has Will Smith recovered from that, or is his? Because I know, like his one of his movies did not do as well as they thought.
Yeah,
and it was a Civil War
Like a slave movie
And it didn't it didn't do as well.
I don't know.
It should have done better.
Honestly, if he comes out with like another Bad Boys or Men in Black or something, you know, something that's, you know, brings back that nostalgia feeling, he'll be fine.
That's right. So we opened up last hour with Shohei Ohtani. We'll continue that conversation. I think this is one of the biggest baseball stories of the year.
It is right now. Yeah. Yeah, because right, I mean, it's the hindsight part of it all too. The Angels missed out on a golden opportunity. I really think they did. Because, you know, first of all, I mean, they weren't going to. You could already see the writing on the wall before they even shut him down. That, you know, it's like the Angels. I mean, yeah, you guys were in the running around the trade deadline, but you're not. you're done. Your season's over. And now your best pitcher, the guy who was almost like the front runner for the Cy Young, he's on the shelf. All he's going to do is hit. That's, and I'm just curious, at some point, does that bother him?
Well, yeah. Well, again, if I was the Angels, I asked this question in hour one, and I'll ask you. If you're the Angels, do you say, we're going to do you a favor, we're going to shut you down for the, like, you can go get this repaired, you can get healthy. We know this winter is a big deal for you, and we obviously want to be in part of your consideration. We obviously want to sit down with you and make you an Angel for a very long time, but we also going to respect you. And we're not going to put you in a position. I know these are two different. This is an injury that won't affect your at-bats. But the reality of it is, why don't we shut you down completely so you can go get all of the tests and all of the things that you need to show these teams that you'll be ready to go in 2024, including us. Do they do that? Or do they ride the Shohei Ohtani hit machine and they go, hey, he can't pitch. But you know what, kids? He certainly can. He can go out there and he can hit and still buy a ticket to see him.
I think as long as it's not Tommy John.
Right.
I think he's going to be fine. I think, you know, if he doesn't need Tommy John surgery or he's missing an entire year of baseball. Because, I mean, it comes at the worst time for him as well.
Oh.
You know.
If he has Tommy John surgery and can't pitch in 2024, who's going to offer him $500 million?
Right.
Like, seriously, who's going to do that?
You might as well just accept a one-year deal with someone and then, you know, put himself out there again. And I don't even know who would give him a one-year deal because somebody – well, yeah, that's not true. I mean, every team would give him a one-year deal.
I don't think anybody's going to give him a one-year deal. I think that free agency is starting at 6 or 7 years. If you walked into the room with Shohei Ohtani's agent and offered a one-year deal, he's going to go, no.
Or, well, no, but would Shohei – if the dollar amount isn't there, because you and I have been saying all along, I mean, he's going to be baseball's first $500 million man. I even said, you know, at the time, I wouldn't be surprised if he got $600 million. Because it's, you know, you're getting two players.
So you're saying a team walks in and says, we'll give you a one-year deal for this, and then, they would run.
What I'm saying is, what if the agent is going to be saying, no, I want a one-year deal?
No, because an agent will never take a one-year deal.
Well, no, the reasoning why I'm saying that is because if the dollar amounts aren't there, if they feel that he can still get $500, $600 million, and they're only
he could get in a car accident.
Well, I get that.
He could trip down the stairs.
But when they want to hold out for the max amount of money they can get?
In the history of sports, who in the history of contract negotiations – who has ever taken a one-year deal when no one is offering that, you're offering that? I don't think any athlete has ever taken a one-year deal when the offer is, especially in a guaranteed contract world, they're offering you 10 or 12. The non-security angle is going to be horrible.
So in that respect,
like if you got in a car accident,
how about this? Would it be better for him to take like a 4 or 5 year deal? Because the thing I'm seeing is like
I understand what you're saying.
If he has Tommy John, right, and there's somebody's going to come to him and say, well, you know, the pitching part's a big priority. 10 years, we can't do any more than $400 million. I mean,
you're saying is if he was a free agent in 2024, he could get the $500 million.
Right.
But if he has Tommy John surgery, he can't get it. So bet on yourself for 1 year.
Yeah.
And go in there. I can't imagine any agent saying that that would be an advisable thing, even though it kind of makes sense in a theoretical world. It doesn't make sense in a practical world. Because he could say, look, Shohei, if you get $350 million and you sign that deal, or $400 million and you sign that deal, that's all your money. Doesn't matter what happens. But if you, again, trip down the stairs and get a triple fracture in your leg, or you're in a car accident where your baseball career is over, you get nothing after this. You get nothing. But I understand what you're, where you're coming from, because, again, who's going to offer him $5 million? The only way you can offer him $5 million is if you give him an, if you say he can hit and pitch. But I think teams are going to say, look, we don't think Tommy John surgery has never meant the end of pitching for anybody, right? It usually means like they can come back and pitch pretty well. So I wonder if teams, but my thing is that teams are going to go, I don't know what you're going to be like pitching when you win. So I don't want to pay you the $500 million if I don't know what kind of pitcher you're going to be after the surgery. I know you'll be able to pitch. You know, that's why you have Tommy John surgery, because it saves your pitching arm. But I don't know how effective you're going to be. And now I got to pay you as a slugger slash pitcher. But you know what? Here's the deal. Would you pay $150 million for Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher? I kind of would. If Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander are getting three, would you pay 150 for him as just a pitcher? Forget the batting. 150. Would you? I kind of would.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So my point is that if you're saying I would give him 350 as a slugger, I would give him 150 as a pitcher coming off Tommy John surgery. Then I would get my $500 million. But I don't know if in the negotiations we're going to be doing that. I don't know. I just have a feeling that in the end, teams are going to go 425, 450 if coming out Tommy John surgery. It'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Throwback Thursday. By the way, our Throwback Thursday today, Bart Giamatti suspending Pete Rose for life. That happened on this day in 1989. So again, 1980s music coming your way on a Throwback Thursday. But what is the good of the day?
The good of the day might be the good of the summer, good of 2023, good of it's about damn time kind of good.
Yeah.
Because Reggie Bush is suing the NCAA.
About time is right. That's a great way to put that. It's about time.
So if you haven't heard, he's trying to sue to get all his stats and records back, specifically for the year 2004. And with that, getting those reinstated would hopefully convince the Heisman group to go, here's your trophy back.
I still think the Heisman should have never taken it away, regardless of that. They're their own separate thing.
Yep.
They could have told the NCAA to go pound sand. The Heisman isn't going away. It's not part of the NCAA. It could be whatever it wants to be, and it should have never followed suit to that nonsense. Never followed suit to that.
Yeah, and especially in today's, I mean, everyone was getting paid. We all know this. And it was one of those... I don't even know if it was like unspoken secrets or, you know, unwritten laws or type of thing. It's like everyone was getting paid.
The problem is that if the NCAA, this has been a complaint with coaches all through that era, which is if you send a team to investigate, like you can pick and choose who you investigate.
Right.
So if you wanted to go after Alabama, you wanted to go after USC, or you wanted to go after Oklahoma, you could do that. You could find something there. And that's what would happen, is that they would say, we're hearing too much about this, so let's go. Whereas they don't go to a Rutgers, for example. They don't go to a South Carolina, which they've done a little bit, but they won't go to a school that's near. They go, well, this we're hearing too many people complain, so we're going to go take a look at this program. And you can uncover anything at any time. Eventually, somebody's going to go, yeah, the kid took $20, or he took $200, or he took $2,000. Right. Like, you'll find somebody to make your case if you want to, right? That is the problem. So, yeah, Reggie Bush, good for him. Good for him, and I hope he wins. Hope
yeah,
he wins.
So do I.
So,
you know, I mean, well, it's kind of fun, because when you look at it this way, it's like, what does he have to lose?
Yeah, no, do it.
You know, and I know you can't really use the argument, well, today everyone's making money. It's like, well, you know, it's yes and no. I think the NCAA was trying to drop hammers on things that they knew shouldn't have been dropped.
Yeah, right. No doubt. Without a question. Without question. So good for him, and I hope he wins. I really do. I thought that was silly. And I do understand NCAA's argument with the Fab Five and other school. Like, there's nothing really we can do. No one's going to jail for these things. It's not crimes. I always try to remind people of that. People think it's criminal to have given a kid a ham sandwich when he's not supposed to. It's just against a rule. That's all it is.
Right.
It's a rule. It's not criminal.
But it's not breaking
the law.
But, you know, 15, 20 years ago, if you gave that kid a ham sandwich, now he has to sit out 7 games.
Right, exactly.
And it was the dumbest thing in the world.
Now, I know the FBI was listening in on coaching wiretaps and things like that. That's fine. But the reality of it is that there isn't a coach in prison because he paid a guy under the table or he bought a house for their mother. Right. So the only thing that they can do is to say you're invalid. Like, you, whatever you did, we're invalidating that accomplishment. So what happens is that it's sort of like the, you know, what, a Men in Black little button thing that they did, you know, where they just press it and everybody forgets. Well, nobody forgets. But the NCAA says you can't hang a banner up. Fab Five. Sorry. We're taking it down. You didn't actually play in the NCAA championship game against Duke. You actually didn't win the Big Ten. And your football team never did this, and you never ran for this many yards, or you never threw that many touchdown passes. And it's the only way they can do it, but it's kind of silly because everybody does remember it, and everyone says because his mom may have gotten a house, it didn't affect him running the football. Because he got like a little money under the table, it doesn't mean that touchdown didn't actually occur. His ability to run over defenses and score touchdowns was evident. We all saw it. So it's their only arsenal, and everyone thinks it's laughable. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is just Jerry being Jerry.
Is that Jerry Jones?
And I'm talking Jerry Jones, yes.
Okay.
So, second year, hold on, make sure I get the right guy's name again because I would keep forgetting it. But second year defensive end Sam Williams was arrested for the second time in his young career.
I know.
With the Cowboys. Last year, he was arrested for his involvement in a car accident. He was doing 98 and a 55.
Ugh.
This year, just recently, I think over the past weekend, he was arrested for felony drug possession, mainly marijuana, and unlawful carrying of a weapon.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And this is what Jerry had to say about it. All right. Maybe not.
Okay.
Let's try one more time. Okay, well, you know what? The computer doesn't want to work today. So
I have a quote.
Yeah, you can go for it. You do your best Jerry voice.
Everything I know about it won't impact his time on the field. Is that what basically it?
It's that, plus he did
What was he going, 66? Was he going 66 miles an hour this year? So he's 34 miles an hour less than he was. So that's an improvement.
Yep.
Is that the quote?
That's the quote.
Damn, you can't get that? We can't get that to fire. Bad part of the good, the bad, and the dumb quote.
I have no idea why. Oh, let me try something different. You know, if I did this.
Oops, well, that's the music. That's the ending music.
Yeah, that's not it. It's not the end of a break yet, guys. You know what? Sometimes computer technology just doesn't work.
Bum, 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 bum. All right, never mind. So, yeah, so he was saying that by going 66 is an improvement of 34 miles an hour.
Right.
All right.
Saying that he matured.
He matured.
From last year to this year.
How come Jones just doesn't cut these people?
I don't know.
Why is he? Why
and that's
Jones...
part of the reason why the bad is just because it seems like if there is criminal behavior, don't we all kind of assume it's like, oh, it must be the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all of them seem to happen with the Cowboys.
Okay, let me add that Swamp Kings documentary about Urban Meyer, the fluff piece that I was complaining about yesterday on Urban Meyer and the Florida Gators, one of the things that they talked about was when Urban got there, he told the team, you don't deserve to be Gators. No one is allowed to wear gear until you've earned it. So the players couldn't even walk around campus wearing their football gear. You know, like what this apparel company is paying the school to have the athletes do. Urban wouldn't let them wear it until they earned it. They had to earn the right to be a Florida Gator. How come Jerry Jones doesn't do that with the star. The star is one of the most iconic logos in the history of sports. It's a universal logo. You go anywhere in the world and they know what this logo is. How come Jerry Jones doesn't say, you know what? I own this. This is mine. But you know what? Y'all don't get to wear it if you race through the streets or you have weapons, illegal weapons, or you hit your girlfriend or whatever it is that we are doing over and over again, or you have weapons in the trunk of your car or whatever. You don't get to wear this. This is the star. This is more important than anything else I've ever done in my life. This is the most important thing I own. Outside of my family, there's nothing more important than this, and I'm not going to let you wear it unless you live up to a certain standard. It seems like any standard matters for Jerry Jones. Again, if you can help the team in one micro statistic, he's like, yeah, here it is. You can be a Cowboy. Oh, well, he got arrested. Well, it don't matter. Have a little pride in what you have. Like, have a little bit of, hey, you know what? This is not going to be tolerated here because I'm not tolerating here. And by the way, when you see the star, you see me because I own that. It's mine. And I'm not just giving it away to people. But he never does that. He never does that.
No, he just kind of turns the blind eye and just like, it is what it is.
Don't get me wrong. I think that whole coaches thing where it's like, you don't get to wear gear. I think it's a little hokey. It's a little cheesy. It's a common tactic. But at the same time, it does mean something. The message is, don't take this for granted. Don't believe that this is a hall pass to do whatever you want. No, you can't steal cars in Gainesville. No, you can't beat your girlfriend up at her apartment and wear a Gator shirt doing it. Right? Same thing here. Like, why is he making excuses for this when he should say, you know what? We're going to look into that. And if we find that his actions don't warrant wearing Dallas Cowboy uniform, then we will make an appropriate decision on that. Because I want people on this team that matter. But you know what? He's never done this. The whole history of the Super Bowl Cowboys is listed with infraction after naughty deed and naughty deed and naughty deed, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. It's always been that way since late 80s when he bought the team. He's always been this way. But in your old age, Jerry, I would totally offer an opportunity to change that. All right, we will do the dumb coming up next, and it's the Denver Broncos on the clock. No, the two aren't related based on the bad play last year. But we will continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. Don't forget, the Broncos are on the clock today for our AFC West week. Nate Kreckman, hour three, to talk about a team that went 5-12, got Sean Payton as their head coach. It's a throwback Thursday as well, 1989, as we go back to Bart Giamani suspending Pete Rose. One of the more milestone sporting moments in the history of sports was when the Hit King was suspended for life, something that has continued on all of these years later. Has not been able to get back into the good graces of Major League Baseball, despite the love that the fans have for him. And we all can remember the 80-99 All-Star game when Jim Gray asked him about it and fans were booing. I mean, like, the people love Pete Rose, and yet the baseball has not budged. Not with any other commissioner that has ever come down has any commissioner ever budged on reinstating Pete Rose into Major League Baseball. And the Hall of Fame, again, a separate entity, but still kind of follows suit with Major League Baseball. They've sort of been consistent on this. If you're not in good graces with Major League Baseball, you're not in good graces with the Hall of Fame. But it doesn't mean Hall of Fame voters can't vote for Pete Rose. He just is off the ballot. You can put him in, but writing in, most people just don't do it. They just don't do it. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day. This is one of my, you know, I always say this, but a story will pop up and I'm intrigued by it. I'm curious about it. The only reason why this is dumb is because I don't think this can really be enforced. But Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski has a new rule regarding joint practice fights. Something you and I absolutely love.
We love them.
Because there's guaranteed to be a fight single joint practice.
Since you're going to do it anyway, why don't you just get it out of the way as soon as practice starts?
Right. So here's his new rule. If you're a starter and you're involved in a joint practice fight, you must play the upcoming preseason game.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
I'm not sure how that would be enforced.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
I agree with you.
I don't know.
And that's why I said, I don't know if this is necessarily dumb, but kind of this second part, though, I love. If you're a backup or someone really trying to make this team, if you are involved in a joint practice fight, you cannot play an upcoming game, preseason game.
Okay. I got thoughts on this now. I think this has not been thought out as well as he's thought it out. And here's why. And I might be wrong on this.
No, go ahead.
Here's why. One, the number one job of preseason is to just get through healthy.
Right.
That's it. Who cares who wins, who loses, who cares? It is get healthy and get some reps and get everybody through. But the second part of it is evaluation by the coach, evaluation by the coaching staff. Now, I don't think, for example, that when he says that, that shouldn't be such a blanket statement. Are there players playing in preseason games where the coach absolutely knows that they will not be on the roster? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. No one's denying that. No one's denying that. Meaning, I know if I'm on the Browns and I'm a linebacker and I look at the depth chart and I go, I'm not making this. So I better take advantage of any opportunity that I can to better myself so I can get in front of other teams and talk to other teams. Then the team is doing you a favor by putting you out there in preseason games. I get it. But this is too universal of a statement because I also believe that there are players that the team really do want to evaluate before they make their final 53-man decision.
There's bubble guys.
Right.
He needs a little bit more tape. He needs a little bit more film.
So, Joe Smith, I may not need you. And I may be doing you a favor playing you in the final preseason game or the second one, whatever. But Mike Jones, I may be looking at you hard. I may need further tape. You might be really fighting for that third-string defensive end job that we have available. So what he's basically, it's too big of a statement because while it will work in some cases where you go, you know what? And you don't get to play. So that's it. And by the way, when I need your playbook on Tuesday,
ones,
it's like, well, are we hurting ourselves by not evaluating the people that we need to evaluate because they got in a scuffle in practice.
Right. Well, here's my curiosity anti Stefanski thing here.
Okay.
Because there was a fight between the Browns and the Eagles.
Right.
We talked about it the other day. That was because some of the Eagles players were getting chippy and kind of pushing around Deshaun Watson.
Right. Okay.
So if you are a backup guard trying to make this team and you get involved in a fight because, hey, I didn't like this Eagles defensive lineman going in there and taking a cheap shot on Deshaun Watson.
Right.
So, yeah, I got into his face and I shoved him.
Yeah, shouldn't that be sort of like, hey, good job.
Almost rewarded?
Yeah.
Right? But now it's just like, I mean, what Stefanski is saying is like, no, let the cheap shots occur. And then the next one might be a little worse. And then the next one might be a little worse. But you know what? I'm not going to get involved. I want to try to make this team.
Do you think it's like when politicians go, hey, we are going to make sure that we do this, this, and this to help you, and then behind the scenes they're like, yeah, we're not really going to do any of this.
All the time.
Like, coaches feel like in front of the camera, should they be saying, we don't tolerate in-practice fighting, not one bit. But behind the scenes they're like, did you see Joe punch that guy?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
They have to do that, right? They got it. Behind the scenes they're probably like, that was a pretty good scuffle, don't you think? Fired him up a little bit.
And then on the flip side of it all, too, right? I mean, okay, when you're sitting there, you're going to say, hey, if a starter gets into a fight, he has to play the next preseason game. Okay, well, What if that was Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Someone said something about his wife or his brother, because they're always in the news for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And he just, you know, he grabbed a guy by the face mask and he's shaking him around because he didn't like that comment. Now, are you standing by that and going, all right, you get to play the next preseason game? Now, I know, I mean, Andy Reid would never think about that, but that's essentially what Stefanski is saying.
That's basically true. That is basically true.
And I would not risk throwing my, you know, if it's Deshaun Watson, if people were kept, you know, Deshaun Watson was the one who just said, I'm tired of you guys referring to massage parlors or things like that. If I'm Stefanski and Deshaun Watson goes out there because he broke the team rule, he had to play that first series, and he goes down with a broken leg.
If
Stefanski's gone.
Exactly. If coaches were this angry over practice scuffles, they wouldn't schedule joint practices because they always happen.
Yeah. Hey, you get fighting in your own team.
Right.
We just talked about the Cowboys, and the Cowboys, the defense was giving Dak Prescott a hard time.
Yeah.
Just ribbing him left and right. You know there was going to be a fight eventually, but Dak just lets it roll off his back like he lets everything go.
Meanwhile, you got Deion Sanders in Colorado going, hey, if you ain't fighting, you ain't on this team.
Right.
If we're all fighting, we're all fighting. it's the Jets and the Sharks, you know? When you're a Jet, you're a Jet.
Like, all the way.
Seriously, when you're all the way, when you're a Buff, you're
from
a Buff.
From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
Okay, right? Like, that's what basically Deion Sanders wants in Boulder.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants an all-out 90-man rumble when they get in fights. Right? Yeah, they hated it so much, they'd be like, nah, we got our own thing going on. We'll be good. We'll be good.
So, I mean, you know,
we need to go down in the hot weather to Philadelphia.
I think it's kind of fun that Stefanski put all this out there. But, yeah, when you start to really look at it, like, Stefanski, are you willing to back this all up 100%?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love it. I can't wait for the NFL season to start. I love it. It's already heating up. Stefanski's feeling the heat, completely feeling the heat. All right, so that is the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we continue again, the Denver Broncos in next hour with Nate Kreckman from Altitude Radio. And then tomorrow, the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got one more division to do.
Yes,
and that
we do.
Is, next week, the NFC East with Dallas and the Giants and the Eagles and the Commanders. So that's it.
Then we've done 8 weeks. Is it still, will it become TBA Commanders?
Yeah.
TBD.
Yeah. TBD. Yeah.
To be determined if they're going to stay the Commanders.
If I'm Josh Harris, I try to figure out how to get out of that name as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
I would want my own name on it. By the way, did you see the handshake between him and Joe Buck? That was weird.
That was weird. Who's at fault?
I think Joe Buck, because it looked like he was extending a hand.
I don't think he's Joe Buck. I think that's a hand gesture he does.
Yeah, I know, but he probably should have realized he left it out too long, and it does look like he's asking for a handshake.
It does look really weird.
It does look like he's... Okay, look, if you have... Like, when I see somebody stick out their hand, I'm going to probably slap it, right? Like, especially if it's pointed at me.
Right.
Because I don't want to leave him hanging. So maybe Josh Harris was like, I'm not going to leave this guy hanging, sticking out his hand. I better shake it.
But Commanders...
But then at the same time, he wasn't asking for a handshake, or he wasn't appearing to do anything to ask for a handshake, right?
Right. But for Commander fans, is this a good feeling controversy or news about your owner versus what you've dealt with the last 20 years?
Oh, it must be like, if this is the reason the owner is in the news, my life just got 1,000 times better. No doubt. We'll continue on Twitter at Tony D Radio. That's at Ron Culver, Ron with 2 N's.
Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. This is a very good song. I know Eminem sampled it. It's a great song. This is a very good song. This is Marquita?
Close. Martika?
Martika. Okay.
Martika.
I just have the name in my head, but this was she wrote this about addiction. This whole song is about addiction. So 1989 in our Throwback Thursday. But this is a really good tune. Really good tune. All right, we continue with Wake Up Call. So again, Denver Broncos coming up with Nate Kreckman, Altitude Radio, next hour. And again, talking about Shohei Ohtani and his injury from last night. But the Yankees did win, in case you were wondering if they
were going to tie.
They did.
Oh, they had one more day for the record.
One day they would have tied the longest losing skid in Yankee history from 1913. It had to go back 110 years to find a 10-game losing skid for the Yankees.
Is that kind of annoying? And I'm going to bring it up because I'm going to bring this up, right? Here in the city of Houston, we were on pace. We had 23 straight days of 100-degree temperatures.
Right.
Right? The record for the longest streak was 24.
Okay.
So there's a part of me that was kind of bummed that we didn't get the record. That we, you know, that was the second longest streak. Woohoo. But we suffered through all of that and still didn't get the record. I'm wondering, is Yankee fan kind of upset? Like, hey, we suffered through nine straight terrible games.
We might as well do one more.
Might as well do one more and make it historic.
Well, here's the thing, is that people love to talk about going through really hard times, right? Like, no one ever says, when I was a kid, everything was awesome and easy. You always tell the story about how you did walk 2 miles uphill to school both ways, right? Sometimes we had to eat Spam sandwiches for dinner because we didn't have any food. Like, that's what you want to do, is you want to talk about your struggles. So if you're a Yankee fan, you're probably like, I want to be able to tell my grandkids that I lived through one of the worst losing skids in the history of Yankee baseball that was 11 or 12 games. But you can't, because now it's 9 and Aaron Judge hit 3 home runs and it's over.
Yeah.
Same thing. You want to be able to say, oh, yeah, summer of 2023, I survived 25 days of triple-digit temperatures. You want to be able to say that. Not the second most.
Yeah. It gets forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, we went 23 straight days, and then we had one day, and this is what's really upsetting about it, too. And I'm wondering if the Yankees will do the same thing. We went 23 straight days. I think it was on Wednesday. It didn't reach 100. It reached 97. Or no, it was Tuesday. It reached 97. Then yesterday was 106. Today is supposed to be 107. We're right back at it. It's like, okay, we just had that little blip. Can we just ignore that? Because they're predicting another 6-7 days of 100-degree temperatures because the heat dome is back.
What's going on? Is a heat dome, right? Because we're getting triple-digit temperatures all over the place.
God, it's
all the way up through Illinois and Indiana. Yeah. It's boiling hot. So by the way, in Atlanta, they got the tour championship starting today. It's going to be 100 degrees plus for that golf tournament.
That grass is going to be dry.
I know. It's going to be. There's one thing I won't do. I won't play. I don't mind playing golf when it's chilly. I do not play golf when it's hot. It's miserable. There's no place to go.
Especially if there's a little bit of humidity.
Yeah.
Then you're just gross. I mean, you know, I've played golf here and I've played golf in California and Arizona. You know, I mean, the worst thing about Arizona is that, you don't sweat.
So right. I don't mind that.
You have to be careful because you're not.
When I lived in Vegas, same thing. I like that.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to be careful though. You got to stay hydrated because you won't know. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm just passed out on the ground.
Yeah, you do have to be smart.
You know, but here, there's something annoying. Like you're standing over the ball and just beads of sweat are dripping down your eyes, your nose. You can't see out of your glasses. That's not fun.
No, I don't. I don't enjoy
it. I'm thinking about these guys and how dry it's been. I don't know how much rain Atlanta's gotten, but how dry it's been. It's like when you're going to be hitting stuff. You're going to be swinging. It's going to be dust coming up.
The Tour Championship is a very weird event because it uses staggered scoring. So what they do is you play in these playoffs, and then you're getting all these points all season. So Scottie Scheffler, for example, got the most FedEx Cup points. Now, the playoffs determines who plays in the Tour Championships. You have 30 golfers. That's it, 30 golfers. And they all make the cut, and they're all getting big, fat checks after this tournament. So if you make the Tour Championship, you get paid very well, and you don't miss the cut. But they do staggered scoring, which meaning Scottie Scheffler, because he has the most FedEx Cups points for this last season, he's at 10 under par to start the tournament. Victor Hovland, who's number two, is at 8 under par. Rory McIlroy is at 7 under par. They're already given these. They're already given these to start the tournament. So basically, Scottie Scheffler has a 2-stroke lead heading into the tournament. And that's how they do it. It's not the best way to do it, but they wanted to make it something where it's like It's like an auto race. Like if you win all these races and
kind
you get to the championship,
reward
you. Yeah, they're trying to make it so that the season mattered. It's not just get to the championship and play. Like it's like in the NCAA tournament. It's like you fight to get to the NCAA tournament, but you could lose in the first round. But imagine if you went undefeated and they said you don't have to play until the Sweet 16, or you don't have to play until the Elite Eight. So the tournament is, the tour is saying, we don't want these guys to accumulate these FedEx points and then saying that they're really important, but then they get to Atlanta at the end of the season, they have one bad tournament, and they don't win the whole thing. There's got to be some benefit. There's going to be something that they should get for doing well this year.
Isn't that the college football playoff?
Right. Yeah, sure.
First four get a bye?
Get a bye, right, right.
The other eight got to play each other?
That's the equivalent, which is you get a two-shot lead heading into the final round. That's it. And then if your competition that's right behind you falter, you have a bigger lead because guys have a lot to do to catch up. Now, if you're 30th and you're 10 shots back to start this tournament, well, anything can happen over the 4 days. But the reality of it is you're in a pickle. So that's how that goes. And then the season is done. Then the Ryder Cup coming up next month. They all know where the bread and butter of this country is. It's again, get done as soon as possible.
That's
get
right.
done before college football season and NFL season starts.
That's what is weird.
Wrap
I mean,
it up.
I started thinking about this the other day, you know, because we were talking, you know, we're going to have probably start talking golf a little bit more next week because of the Ryder Cup.
Right.
And I was like, man, you know what? Golf is just a dead sport now.
Yeah, well,
in a way, it's like, you know, the majors are all done literally before summer.
I'm not a big fan of that. I miss the PGA in August. I do. I don't like it in May. I think there's a lot going on in May. Baseball's underway. The playoffs in both NHL and NBA are really kicking.
But you kind of understand why they moved it, though.
They did. They couldn't find a location that wasn't a million degrees.
Imagine this year with the heat dome constantly setting.
Yeah, and they wanted it. Look, they wanted to be relevant. They wanted to be relevant from the Masters in early April to the U.S. Open in mid June. I mean, basically, the Masters is around that first full week of April, and then it goes, and then you don't have any real major thing going on in the sport until Father's Day weekend in June. That's a long time. That's 2 months. So I do understand they were like, let's pop it. But what they really moved it for was to get to this point where they could end the season in August because the players wanted rest. And here's the other reason. The other reason is, and I know some people may disagree with this, but it is another way for some of the guys. So like a Scottie Scheffler can go, I'm done. Me and my wife are going to have a good time. We're going to go to Hawaii for a month. We're going to chill out. The holidays are coming, blah, 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 blah. But for a lot of other guys, it's like, hey, do you want to play in this for $50,000? Do you want to play in this for $100,000? They can now, it's a little silly season. They can go make some money around the world. Yeah.
We already forgot his name. Michael Block?
Yeah, Michael Block.
This is an opportunity for him to play in some of these other unknown tournaments because...
You can make money. You can get appearance fees galore playing overseas, playing in different events.
And the tournament can promote him and go, hey, do you remember that one guy?
Yeah, yeah. And the season is long, and it's tiring. It's a lot of golf. It's a lot of mental drain, and they wanted to kind of wrap it up. But the other thing, too, is their sport was, like NASCAR, trying to do something relevant at a period of time where it's really hard to find relevancy. It's hard to find a space in the sports calendar when you've got so many things going on in both NFL and college football, as well as the World Series and the playoff race in baseball. It's very hard to stand out. Your diehards will hang. Your diehards are there, but you can't go beyond. So if you can find a way to heat it up in August where you've got a dead period, you make that happen and then give your players enough time to recoup and revamp by the time you do start the season. All right, Nate Kreckman, Hour 3 on the Broncos, and we will get into their season in a preview as we continue with the AFC West. Also, a throwback Thursday, Pete Rose getting banned from baseball. On this date, Bart Giamatti making that big, huge announcement 24 years ago. No, 44, it was 34 years ago. We continue with Wake Up Call.